We got a fun night tonight. Okay. First up tonight, we're going to hear from Philly, who went to Brazil. And she's going to come up in just a moment. You guys may remember that we, for about a month, collected a bunch of stuff in suitcases. And my mom was actually the one who took it down there, and Philly helped give some of that out at the orphanage. So she's going to tell us all about it. So welcome, Philly.
Oi, velocidade. That means high velocity, obviously, but in Portuguese. My trip was incredible. I'd like to thank you all for your prayers during May. It really did help. The kids loved all the stuff in the suitcases. I was looking through some pictures and actually saw kids wearing the M88 bracelets or the other bracelets and rings that were in there. What really got me by surprise was how, like, not really surprised, but how big God is. Like, he, like, threw me up in the air, and I just, like, was falling. And, like, he caught me right before I hit the ground with my passport and my visa. But I was really surprised my parents let me fly from here all the way to Brazil, which is miles away, halfway around the world. And just God was all over that. My pictures will be playing through while I'm talking about my trip. And my trip was just incredible. The kids there were like, they so wanted to give love and they so wanted to just show love and be loved, really. And it was so hard to serve them because all they wanted to do was serve you. And I just completely fell in love with everything in Brazil. Just like, I didn't want to leave, and I kept on making excuses to stay, and no one let me, but I really wanted to. people kept on calling me Mini Kara, and they need to watch out because I'm just like Kara, and I was like, okay, I don't know if that's good, but that is a picture of the hippie fair that I went to on the first Saturday I was there. It was so fun. Like, it was crazy. And then just throughout the week, basically, what I was doing was I was in the dental room with Donna and Anne. And while I was there, I would keep the kids entertained while they waited to get their teeth cleaned. And they didn't like that very much. But we played Jenga or since I don't speak Portuguese, like, at all, I would mostly play, like, hangman or tic-tac-toe and you'd, like, draw. They'd have to guess what it was, and I didn't know what they were saying, so I was like, okay, and it was really fun. we played soccer a lot because that's pretty much what we could both do, and there was just, like, so much stuff to do. On the last day we were there, we had to hide candy, and they're little individually wrapped candies. How are you supposed to hide 5,000 of them? So I just would just grab them and throw them. It was priceless. But, like, the times I had there could never be, like, redone. Like, it's an incredible experience for those who haven't gone on a mission trip. It'll basically, like, change your life, and it's just incredible. But after dinner every night, we would put little stickers on the girls' nails and make them pretty. so that's one of the house moms. I can't remember her name because it was not in English, so. But there was four different houses at the girls' ranch, and every night we'd eat dinner at a different house, and sometimes if we weren't eating dinner there, then we'd go back and eat lunch at their house or whatever. At the boys' ranch, that's where the school was, so we'd go there every morning, and that's where the dental room was, and that's Anne. Donna, in between, like the last kid that would be waiting, she would do magic, actually. And that was pretty funny because I knew how it was done. It was really cheesy, but they were all amazed. It was just like something like she'd pull like three boxes out of a bag, and it was easy. But, those are the prizes that you guys provided, and they loved them. Yeah, applaud yourselves. Woo! At the boys' ranch, they would always be playing soccer. Like, to walk to their different courses, they would, like, play. They're big passing the ball. This soccer is like their life. But they were good at everything they did. And I realized that because here we have video games, TV, radio, iPods, and all the other stuff that can keep us sitting down and not being out, that we're not as good as we could be. Like, they would be able to, like, beatbox and, like, do crazy gymnastic things that we wouldn't even attempt. And it was just incredible that they were good at everything they did because they had to work at it. And it was just incredible. There was actually a church for the graduates, and they would actually, they're graduates from City of Youth, the school. And I went there when on Sunday night, and there we sat in, like, the middle row, and they were all in the back. It was funny. I thought it was great because they didn't want to, like, talk to us, I guess. I don't know. It was weird. And there was a few kids there that weren't actually street kids, but they were kids of the house parents or whatever. And it was really hard to see them. It was really hard to see them be able, having to grow up in an environment like that. Like, it's in a great environment, but because of the past of the other kids, it was like an influence on them. And that's actually Samuel and Rachel, basically. And she kept on tackling me, and it wasn't funny. Okay, I guess. But, oh, that game of Jenga was intense. It was the most intense game of Jenga I've ever played, so I kept on taking pictures of it. It was incredible. But it was really fun being able to play with the kids. And from I can understand more Portuguese than I can say. So it was just really cool to, like, to have, like, some of the girls just open up to me that first day I was there. Just, like, this one girl, she came up to me, she's like, I think we're playing volleyball, and she comes up to me, she goes, my mom's been dead for 7 years, and I was like, how could you put that much trust in me for the few hours I've been here? And it was just incredible to be trusted, because a lot throughout their past, some of them couldn't, because of trust that they gave, that's what led them down the road they went on, and so it was just really cool to have them open up to us. And I went to an English class, and the teacher didn't speak English. And so I went to help, and that's what I did. I wrote the numbers 1 through 100 on a piece of paper, and then I took pictures. And they didn't do their work. So I'm not the best teacher, but I did make them do their work for, like, the last 5 minutes of class. It was just, like, the teacher, I was supposed to go the next day, but I didn't know. And so, because I didn't know what he was saying. And he wrote me this note, and it was in English, but it didn't make sense, so I threw it away. That guy with the sword in his neck, his name is Steve, and he can do everything. Like, he would jump off, like, these 10-foot walls and, like, do, like, a weird dance move thing. These were incredible kids, and, like, they were just awesome kids, and I've never seen these kids here act like these kids did. I would never guess if I didn't know that they had bad pasts, I would never guess that they were street kids who were hooked on drugs or stuff like that. I would never guess. And speaking about that, we actually had to take out the scissors and the glue because some of them had addictions to glue. So if you brought glue, sorry about that, but we gave that to the smaller kids to use during, like, school and stuff like that. Some of the courses that the kids had were incredible. Like, there was an auto body shop, and they had the technology that we had, like, to match paint perfectly to a car. And you could actually see them, like, working on the cars, and it was just incredible because that was pointing them in the right direction if they liked it or not. And there was, like, a hairdressing place, and I went and got my hair did. And that was fun. They just washed it and dried it. My dad wouldn't let me get it cut, sadly. Oh, right there, we were walking to the office to check our email, and all of a sudden we see this, like, yellow guy in a tree. So he walked over there, and he's, like, doing all this acrobat stuff, and I was all standing with my eyes open. The kids were laughing at me and paying more attention to me than the actual guy because I was so, like, flipped out. It was awesome. Yeah, there it is. he, like, did this weird, like, he, like, climbed all the way top of this string thing, and he tied himself in a weird knot, and then he let go, and then he got caught, like, 2 feet before he hit the ground. I was like, kids were laughing at me. I felt so weird. I feel like an American. Oh, and there's Kara, for those who know and miss Kara. Yeah! No, me, I spent the night at Kara's awesome apartment. That is one bedroom, two bathroom, kitchen to fit one. It was, they had two refrigerators, and they adopted one because it doesn't work. And their stove would plug in, and it was like this big. It was tiny. I loved it. See, like, they could spin basketballs. It was crazy. Like, everything they did was incredible. I loved it there. They wanted me to take pictures of them beatboxing, so I did. But I had to take one of them off because it looked like he was, like, all, like, weird because his eyes were in the back of his head. And then there I had a lot of experiences that I probably wouldn't be able to have here. Like, I flew a kite, but I didn't get it in the air because I probably wouldn't be able to. But I thought it was cool. We played 1-2-3 hit after the girls went back to their ranch. I played 1-2-3 hit with the guys, and it was fun because I always won because they didn't want to hit me. So I always won. It was incredible. And then the boys had a bigger campus, which I thought wasn't fair, but it was there first, so I guess it was okay. That's those dogs. Their name, the brown one, his name is Milu, which means corn. That's me flying the kite. Yay, kites. It was just like an incredible experience. And if you guys want to go on mission trips, do it. Don't second guess it. Don't think, oh, I can't, or what about this? Don't think about it. Just do it. That's a cool tree. people would keep on asking me what my favorite time was and what the best part about it was, and I couldn't pick one out. They were all just incredible. Just everything about it was mind-blowing, and everything about it was just awesome. And I couldn't ask for anything better. I really did have the time of my life, despite what all the other times I said were the time of my life. It was just incredible. Those kids, like, were awesome. On our last day at the boys' ranch, which was Friday, the Friday before the Saturday I left, the boys threw us a party. It was incredible. I didn't expect them to throw us a party. They, like, gave us a hand-carved box with homemade truffles in it, and I ate one because I was so sad, and it was so fun, and it was just incredible. And, like, they did this awesome dance, and I don't even know how they did it. It was, like, oh, like, gravity-defying, and I would never be able to do anything like that. They were like, hey, do this. And they did it, and I was like, I can't, so I did this. And then they would laugh and do something even cooler, and I was like, that's all I could do. And they would just laugh. Oh, that's soccer. We were talking about soccer at this pizza place, and we ended up tearing up a tissue. I don't know, but it was fun, and God was really there, and I could see it. God changed these kids' life. That's actually one of the co-founders of Hope Unlimited, his wife and his son. But my 15 minutes went by very fast, I would just wanted to say, okay, hold on. Okay, I got this. Oh, just that God changed these kids' lives, like, incredibly. Like, these kids had nothing, and they have so little now that we would be complaining about. And no, they were thankful for all that they had. And it was just incredible because you knew God was there. And just no matter what you have, don't complain if you don't have the coolest shoes, or don't complain if you have a cell phone or whatever. You could live without it. I mean, it's not like the first priority. Just make God your first priority and not everything else. And just thanks again for your prayers and for all the toys you brought for the kids, and that's it.
Okay, I want to give you guys a chance real quick to ask Philly a couple questions. Does anybody have any questions about her time in Brazil? Right over here. Is the food good?
Actually, for almost every meal, there was rice and beans. And so I felt psychic when it came to lunch and dinner. But when I got home, my mom made beans. And I was like, I want more beans.
Nice. Good. Right over here.
Oh, the stove, it was like this big. And it plugged into a wall. And it was tiny.
tiny.
It fit like one rack of cookies, didn't it, or something?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't even know how they cooked on it.
Really, really small. Okay, what else? Any other questions? Yeah. Do they have a lot of candies that they don't have here?
Yeah, actually, I bought a bag of them, and I ate them all on the airplane. Well, me and Anne did. there are these little yogurt things. They're so good. I wanted more, but I don't have any more.
That makes me hungry. Okay, one last question. Any other questions for Philly about Brazil? Yeah, right over here. Sarai.
Hippie fair? There they had a lot more handmade things. They had a lot of paintings and they had a lot of baby stuff. And they did, what was really different about it is that I didn't know what they were saying, which mainly makes a difference.
That makes it a lot different, doesn't
yeah.
it? All right, well, give a hand for Philly. Thank you so much, Philly. Very cool. Well, that's so exciting. I love that even though we didn't get to go with Philly, we're still such a huge part of that trip. We got to take stuff. She got to take stuff from us and bless those kids. What an awesome thing. Philly, I love listening to you talk. It just makes me laugh. It's really funny. I like how you go from one topic to the next so quickly. It's ADD. That's okay. That's good. It's good. Because, like, you were like, yeah, guys, so if you want to go on a mission trip, you should really do, ooh, that's a cool tree. You know? Yeah, you did do that. Nice. Nice. I'll bet you really did it just like that, too. I'm sure you did. Very nice. Well, Philly, thank you so much for sharing with us. We right now are, we're going to start our Mexico half of the night. And I think we have some Mexico people in the house. So we're going to start off with a recap video of the trip. So Jason, you want to hit the lights for us? Here we go. Here's the recap video. That's not it.
that God showed me was that even with the language barrier, that we could really witness to people by, just like giving them food or just hanging out with them and playing soccer, and how we could just communicate by our actions.
On the trip to Mexico, God showed me that I have to look for Him in all the small things.
So that's like a quick 5-minute summary of our 10 days away. Let me kind of sum it up in a few words for you guys. Basically, how it ran, in just a few minutes, we're going to have some students come up and share about it. But basically how it ran is we started off on Monday, June 4th, and we went to the Albuquerque Rescue Mission, and we helped them clean for half a day. And then we went on out onto the streets in Albuquerque and passed out about 120 sack lunches to people all over, homeless people, witnessed to people, prayed with people. It was an awesome, awesome time. That was Monday. Tuesday, everybody came to the church, 8 a.m. in the morning, bags packed, and we had all-day training here. And what we did there was we had a bunch of games. We had a bunch of team-building initiatives and all kinds of stuff that we did that kind of helped us to grow together as a team. So we did that all day Tuesday. Tuesday night, the parents came, and Tuesday night, the parents came, and we had a barbecue out in the park. It was a lot of fun. And then we slept overnight here at the church and left Wednesday morning about 8:30, 9 o'clock for Mexico. So once we got there, we did a lot of hard outdoor work for the first few days. You saw a lot of shoveling, wheelbarrows, pickaxes happening. We did a lot of all of that stuff for the first few days. We took in a lot of sightseeing. We got a lot of Mexican culture in. It was great. We also got to go shopping at the Indoor Mercado out there. We ate some really good ice cream. We painted faces, or tried to anyways. We got to do a lot of stuff. On Monday, we went to a battered women's shelter, which was an experience, I think, for all of us. There were women there that we never even got to see. Some of them beat up by boyfriends, ex-husbands, many different things that had happened in their lives. And so we brought them lunch. We painted the inside of their building there. We put Cristo Te Ama on the wall, which means Christ loves you. and we fed them lunch. We played games with all the kids. It was a good time. So that was Monday. Tuesday, we went to the orphanage, and we also then later on went to the park, hung out with a bunch of kids from the orphanage as well as some other Mexico Missions teams out there in the park. And then Wednesday was our last day there. It was probably one of my favorite days. We got to go back to the house that we built last summer in Mexico, and we spent the whole first half of the day cleaning up the whole yard, picking up weeds, picking up trash, and we repainted the whole house. It was only about half painted, so we bought a bunch of paint and painted the whole house and each other. And so we had a good time. That was Wednesday, and then we got to later on kind of go do like kind of a ding dong ditch kind of thing where we split up by small groups, and in the Mexico grocery store, each small group had $70 to spend, and they only had 30 minutes to spend it, and the team who got the closest got first showers when we got back. And so Tiara was the one, her group took it. They did really good. They were only 4 pesos off from $70, which means they spent about $69.60. So they did really, really good. Everybody did great. We had a blast. Then Thursday we left, and that's Melanie after winning the banana peel contest. She had the longest one. Thursday we left. We headed into Anthony, which is on the border of Texas and Mexico, or New Mexico. And we went to a water park all day, which is a fun way to end the trip. And then we went to Garduño's and ate that night, and then stayed up late and talked about the trip after that, and then came home on Friday. So it was an experience. And I know that I took a lot away from it, but I want to hear from some of the students. So Chris talked to a few of you about coming up here. If you're in the first group that's coming up, come on forward, all right? And we'll some of you guys can sit here, some here. You guys can share the mic, all right? Come on down. Here, come on over here. Come on over. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. You got really confused. Jacob, I like the hair. I like the hair. We have fond memories with this, don't we? Yeah. You know what's funny is Jacob's mom told me that the minute she saw the pictures of his hair, she made a hair appointment back in the United States for him. So sorry about that one. That was his idea. Okay. Oh, real quick, I forgot to mention, for all of the Mexico team leaders and students, I have a DVD to give you guys. This has the video that you just saw, a slideshow with about 300 pictures, and a bunch of special features, such as Jacob's Rude Awakening that you'll have to watch, the evolution of Dylan's hair, since he has none now, A bunch of crazy stuff. In fact, some of the girls will remember peanut butter jelly time in the back seat. That's also on there. So you guys will have a good time with that. So Ruben has these for the whole Mexico team. Grab one before you leave tonight. And if you didn't go to Mexico, but you'd still like a copy, we have 40 extra copies to give away. So if you'd like to get one, talk to me about that. All right? So I want to hear some of your experiences, all right? Let's just start real quick. You guys can, whoever wants to answer, that's fine. But let's just start with one of your favorite stories of Mexico. Doesn't have to necessarily be funny. It can if you want it to be. But something that really stands out in your mind for Mexico. Jacob, start us off. Anything. Anything that stands out in your mind for Mexico.
I think one thing that was kind of funny was we were just coming back from the Catholic Church, and we were walking to go to the park to go talk about what we saw, and then Kevin just goes running across the street, and he's like, everybody stay here, and then he, like, sees this big Superman, and it's, like, 10 feet tall, and he's just staring at it, so I thought that was pretty funny.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah. I finally found somebody taller than me. There we are. I've never had to look up so high before in my life. Now I know how most of you guys feel to me. Okay, Dylan, why don't you talk about one of your favorite parts about Mexico?
Okay, probably whenever we were coming back from the Catholic Church too, or going to it actually, downtown there's this like weird dancing like chicken type of thingy. And so it, like, picks up Hannah, and Hannah runs off, and then he picks up me and starts dancing. And it was a good song in Mexico, I guess. So I started dancing with him. It was pretty cool.
That was good times. Very good times. Okay, and just to clarify, we weren't attending Catholic church that day, okay? Because you've heard him say, before and after we went to Catholic church, we were actually going there to do some sightseeing. We actually got to go, it was pretty interesting, to a Catholic church. You may see the picture of it, I forget, but at this Catholic church, they had a clear glass case with what they say is the body of Jesus laid out in the casket. And this is the dead body of Jesus that they come and touch to receive a blessing. And he has the crown of thorns on his stomach. And he's just laying there. And it was a pretty interesting contrast between the living God that we know we're serving versus the dead God that so many others serve. So that's why they keep saying we went to Catholic church, all right? We didn't turn into Catholics in Mexico, I promise. Okay, Anna, you want to tell us one of the things that God showed you on the trip?
One of the things that God showed me definitely was that the kids, they have nothing there, like not a lot. You'll see kids playing with tin cans and they'll be having a blast. And like it just shows me that we need to take credit on what we have here. Like sure, you may not have the game you want, but the kids down there don't have anything. They don't even have like a TV or a Xbox or whatever. So I've been appreciating my things more, and I'm just trying to get used to, yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Good. Okay, Hannah, tell us a little bit about your experience in Mexico.
Well, it was really sad to see the people from last year when we went back to the house. Most of them. I know Christina started crying. And I just thought it was amazing how God showed her and some other people on the trip last year so much stuff, and he did more work in us this year as having more people. And going back to that house for some of them was a blast.
Very cool. And Hannah, unfortunately, didn't last the whole trip. Her parents came and picked her up from the hospital. We had to take her to the hospital, but thankfully, Hannah... doing good, right? Good job. Glad to see you up and moving. It was kind of sad at first when we took her to the hospital. She was on IVs and they were doing blood work. And then they gave her what I like to call the happy pills. And everything was pretty much happy after that. She was able to laugh and joke around. And it was the same old Hannah, just a little drugged up. So... thankfully, that's not always the Hannah we know, drugged up. But, okay, Gabe, tell us a little bit about your experience in Mexico.
Well, I noticed that when we went down there, all the kids were happy to see us. And at first, I thought they would be like, oh, a bunch of Americans are all probably stubborn. And when we were down there, we got to play soccer with them, and they beat us, unfortunately.
Of course they did. Very nice. All right, give it up for our five Mexico team members. You guys can grab a seat. You guys can leave the mics, okay? And then the next five can come on up here. Uh-oh, it's all the ladies. Oh, and one guy. Good. Thank you, Eric. I got really scared. I had to drive a van of seven girls home, so I'm thankful for Eric joining me up here on the stage. Okay, Eric, why don't we start with you, man? You went to Mexico last year, and what do you think was something different that God was able to show you this year in Mexico that maybe you weren't able to get last year, but you got this year? Can you think of anything?
Well, this year God really showed me that it's not all about me, because none of the kids were focused on themselves. They were just focused on, you know, having fun and with other kids and just learning a lot about... you know, but last year I just learned to appreciate my stuff because that family didn't have a house. And so this year God just humbled me and said, Eric, it's not about you. And so I'm going to try and focus more on God, and it's all about him, not about me or other people or things I have, just about focusing on God and following him and doing what he wants me to do in other people's lives.
Cool, good. And I'll bet one way that you really learned about that it's not about you is working together as a team, right? How? Let's talk to somebody down here. Sarah, why don't you tell us a little bit about how working together as a team kind of helped out a lot. How you could, there's no way, Sarah, you could have gone there and done it yourself. So talk a little bit about that.
Just like for teamwork, I mean, you can't really do it by yourself, because if you did it by yourself, like if I was to go down to Mexico and do what we did, it would take me like years to do it. But with teamwork, you know, it goes a lot faster and we can all like work together. And if someone's hurting or needs help, then you can just help them, and it just helps a lot.
Very cool. Good. And Sabrina, why don't you tell us one of the things that stands out in your mind most about Mexico? Because I'm sure there's a lot, but one of the main things that stands out in your mind. Yeah, anything.
Okay. Well, we went to the women's shelter, and like when we first got there, we got down, and this little boy ran up and like grabbed me. I was like a little freaked out, but it was like really cool. And then I didn't stay with the group and went outside with Larry. And the little boy ended up falling asleep in my lap. And so when we left, it was really sad.
And you were kind of crying, huh, when we had to leave. It was kind of sad. But he was just passed out in your arms, huh?
Yep.
And it was interesting to see these kids, because most of them, they're there because their mothers got beaten up. And they're kind of in this place that doesn't have much. And they were, some of them, pretty excited to see us. Others, it just seemed like they were kind of still in a state of shock and didn't really know how to react to anything. But that was definitely a pretty memorable place. Melanie, why don't you tell us a little bit about what God showed you on the trip in Mexico?
Well, during the trip, God just showed me just to be really humble, because like these people have just about nothing. And I think someone else who was up here was saying that like they had nothing and they still were happy with it, and they still just played with stuff, garbage in the streets, and they were just still happy and thankful for everything they had, no matter what it was. And here we have so many things and we're still not thankful, and we still want more even though we have so much already. So
very good, very good. And Christina, why don't you just share real quickly, just not one of the things that stands out, but kind of, you know, sum up the trip a little bit for us, and how, you know, how maybe you've changed since before you went and now after.
Well, as I said, teamwork was a big part of it. We did lots for the community. We went to the orphanage, to a women's shelter. We also went around, like, painting and picking up trash, and we just did lots of different things, but we couldn't have done it without each other. And I changed because, you know, most of us here just think about ourselves, but it's kind of like a big picture. You need to work with everybody.
Very cool. Very good. So you learned a lot about teamwork, huh?
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, you guys can go grab a seat. Thank you, guys. One thing I want to share with you guys real quickly. As I was thinking about our trip, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 2 says this: the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. And it's so simple. And, you know, what's interesting, too, is that you can kind of plug in different names here. We could say the American and the Mexican have this in common: the Lord is the maker of them all. Or wherever you go. And the amazing thing, one thing that I loved about our time in Mexico was we got to have our devotion and worship time out almost every night in this sanctuary that was only about half built. You guys will see pictures of us out there, just circled up in a circle, sitting on concrete, center block walls around us. And the cool thing was it was only half built, so the walls were only about halfway up and there was no ceiling. And it was awesome to be able to hear the sounds all around us, see the sky above us. There was a couple nights that it was real dark when we were doing it, and so I would just lay down and admire the stars above us. And I realized one time as I was laying down, I was looking up and I spotted the Big Dipper in the sky. And I thought, you know, that's pretty interesting, because I've seen that same thing in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it was just such a great reminder to me that the God that we serve here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the God that we worship here in Velocity in the Plex, is the same God we got to serve in Mexico. The same God that Philly got to serve in Brazil. The same God that you guys, every one of you, gets to serve in your home and in your school. And so we have so many opportunities to share the gospel with so many people. And here's what I never want you guys to think. I never want you to think that, well, I've never been on a Mexico or a mission trip, so I've never had the chance to tell somebody about Jesus. Because as great as it is to experience different culture, go to a different place, tell them about Jesus, you know, there are lots of people who need that right here. There are many people who need to know that they are a part of something bigger, that God has a plan for their lives, that God loves them. You know, there's a lot of people that don't believe that or have never heard that God loves them. People in our society every day are taught, they grow up being taught that we have no purpose in life, that we're all here by mistake. We evolved, and that's why we're here today. Thankfully, that's not the truth. Thankfully, God has a plan for each of us. So I want you guys to remember that tonight as you guys take off. And feel free, Mexico team, Philly will be hanging out. We're ending about 10 minutes early so we can have some cake for Tiffany. So feel free to get around, ask the Mexico team about the trip, ask Philly, get some cake, talk to Tiffany. We're also going to be playing the special features from the Mexico DVD, so you guys can hang around and watch some of those if you'd like. But let's close the night in prayer, all right? God, you are so good, and we are just so small compared to how big you are. Lord, we love that you consider us and that you would take the time to use us. And God, I just ask that you would continue to draw each of us closer to you. Help us to follow hard after you, Lord. And I pray for every student, whether they went to Mexico or Brazil or stayed here in Albuquerque, we know that every place we are is a mission field. We are surrounded by people who need you. And God, I just pray that you would put a passion in our hearts that would be undying, that when it comes time and we're up against so many people who don't want to hear what we have to say or have made fun of us, and we get to that place where we say, fine, I'm not going to say anything more about God. Just like Jeremiah, God, I pray that you would put it as a burning fire in our hearts, that we would not be able to be quiet about you. Lord, help us to be loud and excited about what you've done in our lives. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so we've got cake.